and lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? In the Small Catechism, Luther uses a German word for temptation that means winning over, rather than the more common German word. However, he really wanted to supplant both with the more precise Anfechtung. In so doing, Luther confronted two delicate points in the Christian life. First, though, what is Anfechtung? One German-speaking scholar says, in Luther's understanding of the word, it signals the sudden and at the same time deep wounding nature of satanic attacks. We indeed feel as though a sinister superpower, completely unperceived, shoots the poison darts of insatiable desire into the inwardmost part of our heart. Another says that for Luther, Anfechtung describe the combined assault of death, the devil, the world, and hell, which should reduce a man to doubt and despair. Luther would use the Latin words for temptation, assault, and test when discussing the German concept of Anfechtung. Notice that in the sixth petition, we meet again the devil, the world, and our sinful nature that we first met back in the third petition. There, these three were attacking from the outside, which in German is Anfeindung. The sixth looks at these unholy three attacking from the inside, Anfechtung. We're praying not to be led into despair by these three. For Luther, Anfechtung is a state of hopelessness and helplessness, having strong affinities with the German concept of angst. This was the monastic idea of acedia, spiritual sloth. This was also called by the monastics the noonday devil, a term taken from Psalm 91:6, where the pestilence which stalks in the darkness is set against the destruction that wasteth away at noonday. You know this noonday devil. It's when nothing is wrong, yet everything is. The perplexing part of this petition is God's role. The Anfechtung, we're praying not to be led into, the noonday devils we're praying to be delivered from, stalk us with God's knowledge. Luther doesn't shy away from saying that God himself assigns to us temptations that they may discipline us into faithful obedience. And therefore, our Father wills that in every moment you anticipate temptation. Specifically, the Anfechtung we're anticipating the devil, the world, and our sinful nature lead us into is false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Do you hear what you're really saying? Despair is a great shame and vice. When we dance with the noonday devil of despair, we've fallen into great shame and vice. The first stage of temptation is individual sins, lust, greed, drunkenness. But the second stage is where we can no longer believe we have fellowship with the Father through the Son. So as Luther says, that false belief finally leads to despair. The essence of despair is to doubt that God is merciful. Despair is one of the two forms of original sin. Self-confidence is the other. Now, where do we see both self-confidence and despair so prominently as in the Passion? Peter, with brazen self-confidence, plants himself in the middle of the courtyard of Anfechtung, and Judas despairs of ever being forgiven of his betrayal of Jesus. We're praying in this petition for the Lord to lead us not to be Peter or Judas. As long as we are in this life, our continual prayer must be, lead us not into infectum. By this continual need of ours, the Lord would draw us into unceasing prayer. Here's where Paul's admonition to pray without ceasing comes in, which is the first delicate point in the Christian life. People might misunderstand praying without ceasing two ways. People either say, well, it's impossible to pray without ceasing, and so they despair of even daily prayer. Or they say it is possible to pray without ceasing, and they set a timer to remind them to pray every hour. For Luther, the Christian life is one nonstop prayer. Luther believed that if God opened our eyes, we would see how many spears and arrows the devil has aimed at us at every moment, and we could not but cry moment to moment, Lord, have mercy. Listen to what we pray in his litany later on, if you don't believe that. Our constant prayer over against infectung is, Lord, have mercy. And God must answer us. In our own power, nothing is accomplished against infectum, against the noonday devil, against being either Peter or Judas. Haven't you tried to deliver yourself? Haven't you tried to pick out a pleasant outlook and put on a happy face? A happy face in the face of despairing infectum? Haven't you tried singing, Don't Worry, Be Happy, to drive away the noonday devil of spiritual sloth? Haven't you tried to dig yourself out of the pit of Peter or Judas by singing Hakuna Matata? Or did you just say what that Swahili phrase translates to? No worries. Didn't work, did it? All, as we confess in the Lord's Catechism, the enemy never desists nor becomes tired, so that when one temptation ceases, there always arises others and fresh ones. Elsewhere, Luther confesses that our life is nothing but one great trial, one long infectum. Again, in the Large Catechism, we say that this constant temptation constrains us to cry and pray every hour. It doesn't move us to try to dig ourselves out of the pit, but to pray to God to intervene. Luther understood that the more one tried to dig out of the infectum, the deeper he dug in. Think quicksand. Prayer abandons oneself to God's good and gracious will, that his name be hallowed, his will to save us be done, and that his kingdom come despite the devil, despite the world, despite our flesh. This petition teaches us to believe that although we are attacked by these things, we will overcome them and win the victory. The essence of the infectum is that God has abandoned us to fight the devil, the world, and our flesh on our own. Tonight's Passion reading puts the lie to that. Christ is the one who was abandoned to the worst that the devil, the world, could do to fallen flesh and blood. Even though the secular rulers many times declared Jesus was innocent, he was punished as the guilty sinner that you are. And you, Barabbas, well, you're set free. Despairing of God's grace, mercy, and peace because the noonday devil is seated on your chest, you ought to get none of the grace, mercy, and peace. But you are given them all, while Jesus gets none. With all that grace, all that mercy, all that peace that God the Son deserves, richly and daily overflowing in your life, who won't break forth in prayers of thanks without ceasing? That's the first delicate aspect of the Christian life that this petition illuminates. The second one is the distinction, the crucial distinction between dominant sin and dominated sin. The world has always believed, and now many churches and individual Christians do too, that sin can dominate your life and you can still be saved. As long as you are always sorry, no matter what you're doing, you're going to go to heaven. Ask Judas how that worked out for him. He hung himself. Sorry, so sorry. If you're dominated by sin, you don't want to be delivered from it or believe you can be. This petition prays that sin not dominate us. Let not the devil, the world, or our sinful flesh ride us straight into hell, whipping us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. It is not a prayer to never ever sin. It's not a prayer to not have temptations, but to not be led by them into false belief and despair. That's where, in false belief and despair, sin dominates. When we misbelieve that being tempted is the same thing as giving in to sin, and so why not give in? Sin dominates. When we misbelieve that the sinfulness which all are guilty of is the same thing as being guilty of actual sin, so the person defending his sin is no different than the one deploring his sin, sin is dominating us. What we are praying for in this petition is that we may dominate actual sins, that we may finally overcome the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. We're praying, says Luther, that not that the birds of temptation to lust, to greed, to pride, to self-confidence, or despair never fly over our heads, but that we would not let them nest in our hair. And how does one do that? By the opposite of false belief and despair, which only lead to birds nesting. True belief and confidence shoo the birds away. 1 John 5:4 says as much. Everyone born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Overcoming the world, dominating sin, not letting it nest in our hair, all hinge on the object of our faith and confidence. It can't be us. It can't be our strength, our resolve, our promise to never ever do it again. Peter tried that, you know. Neither can it be self-absolution. That's what the leaders of the Old Testament church told the repentant Judas to do about his sin. See to that yourself, they said. Despair, noonday devils of plenty, is the only result of self-absolution, because it's no more than little engine that could talking to yourself. The object of our faith, our confidence, is what God does in Christ. The devil certainly looks like he's winning in our text. He succeeded in bringing about what he wanted when he entered into Judas in the upper room. The world certainly looks like it's winning in our text. See how the leaders of the world, Pilate and Herod, can do anything they please to Jesus? They can mock him, beat and whip him. Nothing happens to them. It certainly looks like in our text our sinful nature is winning. Despite Pilate declaring Jesus innocent, the crowd calls for Jesus' blood and to let go a murderer. So how does Jesus overcome the unholy three and win the victory for us in the face of this? When he is attacked by these three, Jesus isn't misled into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. He goes on believing that he has a Father in heaven whose name is being hallowed even as his own name is cast out as the evil. He goes on believing that God's will is being done even though God's cup of wrath has not passed him by and he is drinking in it from it in great big gulps. He goes on believing that God's kingdom is coming even when no one on earth believes or has the Holy Spirit but him. He goes on believing that though he has had nothing to eat today, he still has daily bread. He goes on believing that though all the sins of all time are on his shoulders, the noonday devil is wrong. There is no need to despair. Sin is dominated by Jesus, not giving in to the lies of the devil, the world, or our sinful nature. Sin is dominated by Jesus going right on believing that God is his dear father and he is his dear child. We dominate sin. We are delivered from the infect dung of despairing and the noonday devil's call to give up and give in, not by asserting how much we believe, but by asserting that Jesus always did. Amen.